Well, it's an exciting time, right? I was thinking about this baptism, and there's a story I heard one time about this dad who was telling his son. His son was getting ready to get baptized, and he was kind of explaining it to him. And so he was going over all the details, and he was being really specific because he wanted his son to know and understand what it means to be baptized. So he's talking to the older son. This is what it means to be baptized. And as he's explaining it, the younger son, who's about 4 years old, leaves the room crying. He's very upset, making all the noises that kids make when they're crying and upset. And as he should, the dad goes and checks on him and wants to figure out why he's so upset. So he's talking to him about it. And the son explains that he's upset because he wants to be alphabetized with his older brother. Yeah, it's so corny, I almost didn't tell that story. But I told it because there's a sense of, like, the young boy is confused, right? He doesn't quite understand. Yet when we look at baptism, there's a lot of confusion. We hear about it in movies and in media. We have all kinds of different backgrounds. There's different beliefs on baptism. So today, what I'd like to do before we see them get baptized, I want to describe and explain to you what Scripture says about baptism. So we're going to answer some basic questions. You guys know I'm pretty short and sweet kind of person. I'm to the point. So we're going to answer the time-tested who, when, why, and what baptism is. Who, when, and why, and then I want to encourage you with what baptism is. One of the most popular and well-known stories in Scripture comes out of Acts chapter 2. This is roughly 50 days after Jesus had died. It was about 10 days after his ascension. There's 120 of Jesus' followers in this upper room, and they're praying when what sounds like a rushing wind comes in the room. And what looks like flame tongues separate and lay on each one of the people in that room. And then these people start to speak in tongues, which, as you would imagine, was a little confusing because there's someone who's speaking. They understand this guy is Galilean, has a different dialect, and I shouldn't be able to understand his language, but I do. And he understands my language, and he shouldn't because I speak a different language than him. As you could see, this would be confusing. But yet, there are even bystanders who are not a part of this going, what is going on? It's confusing to them. My only explanation as to what's going on is these people must have started partying a little early in the day. These people must be intoxicated. That was their only explanation. Upon hearing this, the Apostle Peter stands up and gives one of the most profound messages in all Scripture. The only thing that I think you could compare it to is a message from Jesus. He first says these people aren't intoxicated. They're filled with the Spirit of God. It says in the last days that my people, I'm going to send my Spirit to them. It's going to lay on them. They're going to speak in tongues. They're going to prophesy. They're going to do amazing things in my name. They're not intoxicated. They have the Spirit of God. And then he goes on to be so direct, it's hard to argue what he's saying. He says, Jesus of Nazareth, a man that was given to you by God, he performed miracles which you saw. You, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. Pretty straightforward. You killed him. Peter continued in his message by explaining that the prophecies that surrounded Jesus, the lineage of him through David, that the promise he made to David, that through David's lineage, he will provide a savior for his people. That's who this Jesus is. And he ends his message in verse 36 by saying, therefore, let all of Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. He's very direct. You killed him. He was the Savior that God promised you. He sent him. You killed him. And he made him Lord and Christ. As I hope it would all of us, it pricked their hearts and they asked a question. Brothers, what do we do about this? What do we do? If what you're saying is true, what do we do? And again, he was straightforward. Peter says, repent and be baptized. Pretty simple. That word repent means to turn and go the other direction. It's like a 180. You were living an old, wicked, sinful way. Go towards God. Repent and be baptized. So in answering the question, who is baptism for? It's anyone who believes and repents. Those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God, sent by God to pay the debt of death that you and I owe, that we're saved by faith through grace. Those who, like the men in the story, recognize that it doesn't just take recognition of this, but it takes an action. What do we do? Baptism is for those who have faith and believe. So when should we get baptized? Well, there's this story that some of you may know in Acts chapter 8. It's one of my favorite stories to read about. It's so interesting. At this time, there's a man named Philip who's following Jesus. And he's walking along. God sent him through an angel along a road. And the Holy Spirit tells him, hey, there's a chariot over there that I want you to hang out by. Stay near that chariot. He doesn't know why yet, but he says, yes, Lord. So he goes over there and is hanging out by the chariot when he hears an Ethiopian eunuch. A eunuch is usually someone who's higher up. He's reading some of God's word, the scroll of Isaiah. And so while Philip is sitting there listening to him read this, he kind of pops out and says, hey, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch was honest and said, no, unless someone explains it to me. So Philip begins to lay out and explain the good news of Jesus to the man, tells him what he's reading, goes through some scripture with him. And this would have been much like that message Peter told that we just talked about in Acts chapter 2. He tells him about the good news of Jesus, and the Ethiopian responds by saying, there's water. Why should I not be baptized? So they went down into the water and Philip baptized him. When should someone be baptized? As soon as they have faith. There's no reason to wait. So why get baptized? If we're saved by faith, if we recognize that Jesus died for our sins, why get baptized? We can overcomplicate this really quickly, but let's keep it very simple, and I always give two reasons why. The first, we see Jesus do this, and he's our example. In Matthew chapter 3, we hear about Jesus going down to the Jordan River where John the Baptist had been baptizing people. John says in verse 11, I baptize you with water for repentance. And so Jesus shows up, and as if you're connecting the dots like I would, it's for repentance. Jesus was perfect and sinless. So why is he getting baptized? What need is it? If you and I are confused, imagine being John who says, whoa, this is backwards. You should be baptizing me. And Jesus responds by saying, it's proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. So the first reason to get baptized about why is Jesus gets baptized as an example for us. And then even though he had no need of repentance, if we're going to follow him, we need to follow in his footsteps and be baptized. The second reason, if that wasn't enough, many of you know the verse, Matthew 28:19. If you don't, I'm getting ready to tell you it. Jesus spoke with authority, and this scripture tells us that he didn't just speak with authority, but he had all authority. He had all the authority in heaven and on earth. And then he tells them, he commands them, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So not only does Jesus get baptized as an example for us, but he then commands us to do the same. We could list more reasons, but I hope for you that's enough. So what? We've answered the who, the when, and the why. What is baptism? We could talk about how, and it's a full submersion of water. We could go down that road. I don't think we really need to. In Matthew 3, when Jesus was baptized, it says they came up out of the water, indicating that he was fully submersed. In the story of Philip and the eunuch, it says they came up out of the water, kind of saying the same thing. They're fully submersed. So we see this repetitive pattern. But what is baptism? Romans 6 gives us a good explanation of what baptism is. It says, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. This tells us that being baptized is being united with Christ in both death, resurrection, and new life. Just as Christ died, we too died to our old self. Just as Christ was raised and lives a new life, we are raised and live a new life. Baptism is a response from our innermost being, a recognition of our sin and a response to God's love. There's this story, I read from a French writer. I'm not going to try his name because it's French and I'll butcher it. But he was alive in the late 1800s through the 1930s. And he's a journalist during World War I. And he writes this story as he's in the trench listening to two soldiers. The two soldiers are laying in the trench. One of them is minutes away from death. And he starts to talk to the other soldier. He says, "Listen, Dominic, you've led a bad life. You're wanted everywhere. You're convicted guilty everywhere. You're not going to go home to a nice life. I want you to take my life. I've led a good guilt-free life. I want you to take my wallet, my papers, take my good name. Go live a guilt-free life. Quickly give me your sins, and I'll take them to death with me." That's what Jesus is saying. Baptism is taking Jesus' papers and living that new life. Those who are being baptized today are doing so in response to God's prevenient grace, His love that goes before them. In a minute, I'm going to have them come up here and we're going to do a responsive reading together. But before that, those who are getting baptized, I have a couple of encouraging words for you. First, baptism is just the starting point. These are the starting blocks. This is not the end all. This is not the end of the story. This is not fire insurance. This is the start of your new life in Christ. Scripture tells us that He has prepared good works in advance for us to do. And He promises to see that starting work that He started in you, He promises to see it through to fulfillment. So baptism and faith in Christ is just the start. The second piece of advice I have for you is every morning put on the full armor of God. Every morning. I don't care if you have to stand in a mirror and pretend to put it on. Put that breastplate of righteousness on and put the helmet of salvation on. Don't spend too much time looking at it. You got to protect your head. And then you put that belt of truth on, the boots of the gospel, the shield of faith, and the sword of truth, the sword of the Spirit. You won't see this in Scripture, a verse that tells you this, but oftentimes when people are bold and brave and stand up for their faith, we see that they're under attack. There's the enemy of your soul who's called the prince of this world. He will attack you. He will often use those flaming arrows, those arrows of the world, the world's culture, to attack you. But take comfort in this. We already talked about you being united in Christ. You're united in Christ, and He's the one who said, "I have overcome the world." Well, I talked about it already. Would you stand with me? We're going to do a responsive reading. I talked about these people who are being baptized are responding. It's a response to God's love. So we're going to read out of Psalm 136. I'll read the first line and then you guys will read the next one. Let me give you a little cheat sheet. Your line is always the same. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To Him alone who does great wonders. Who by His understanding made the heavens. Who spread out the earth upon the waters. Who made the great lights. The sun to govern the day. The moon and stars to govern the night. Amen. How long does His love endure? Amen. You can be seated. I want to call up each person that's being baptized. You all can come up. come on up here. I'm going to have you each line up over here. Now, I've had conversations with them, but something we like to do is ask them questions so you know that they understand what they're doing. These are simple questions, and I've kind of already talked to them about this. I'll tell you this, if we have trouble with enough room, that's something to celebrate. Before you, God and the church, is it true that you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and that you're here to be baptized in His name? By being baptized today, do you agree that you want the world to know that you're a Christian and that you intend to live for Jesus all the days of your life? Do you believe that the whole Bible is God's Word provided for us to learn from and follow? Will you ask God to help you make good decisions in order to avoid temptation and sin? Will you agree to attend and participate in the church as often as you can to learn how to love God and love people? Amen. Well, thank you for coming up here. You can go sit down and I'll call you up each one at a time.